For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. I hope everybody had a great holiday, great 4th of July. Now that we're past all that, the NFL season is going to be ramping up real soon. This will be one of our shorter episodes, not going to lie. Not much going on. Everybody in NFL is on vacation pretty much. But no worries, training camp right around the corner. The NFL season 7 Sundays away. I might mention that in the podcast once or twice. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. And now sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back after celebrating America's birthday. And we have just some small topics to talk about. Before we get to all that, we now have the full Blue Kool-Aid crew here, recharged after a holiday. I'm ready to talk a little bit about Lions football here. So we got UJ.
Hello, everyone.
Bob.
God bless America.
Rud Dog.
Yo.
And Connor.
Hey.
And I'm Big Z. So, gentlemen, first of all, did you guys all have a good holiday?
Yeah, yeah. It was great.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Ate like 4,000 calories. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Not as much as Joey Chestnut. That guy wins. They were comparing like his championship belts to Federer, Djokovic, like all these.
He's the most dominant
champions.
American athlete in history, I think you'd have to say.
Absolutely. It's amazing. It's amazing how that guy just wins it every year. But getting down to Lions football, I mean, I don't know if you guys have like gone to any of the sites or anything like that. There's like no news out there now. I mean, this is literally the biggest dead period in NFL every year. All these guys are on
the doldrums.
Vacation. There is no news whatsoever. But that doesn't mean we don't have anything to talk about. And I wanted to first start off our podcast here. This will probably be a shorter one than usual, but something that's just been in a debate for us in our text thread the last few weeks. So I want to bring it out here for the listeners as well. And that's just a debate about Matt Stafford. And just, should we be rooting for this guy or should we be rooting for against him? Where's like the safe space there as a Detroit Lions fan? And I feel like we're going to have some debate here. I know we've already talked about it briefly, but not like as upfront about it as a topic. So
yeah,
Bob, yeah, you can take it first.
Well, as you guys know, I went to Vegas. I put my MVP bet on Matthew Stafford because he's a great player.
What was his odds? Do you remember?
Loved watching him. I'm still root for him. I mean, except when he plays the Lions.
I might have the bet slip still. Let me see if I can find it. I also bet on Stafford MVP in Vegas at the Bellagio.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, got the
So
White
while
Sox
you look that up, UJ and Rud Dog, I think you guys had a few comments about this bet he made.
Well, you know, I was actually questioning his loyalty, to be honest with you. I think we've stated many ways, I don't know, up and down, that Stafford's probably my favorite player in the last 10 years or so. Most fun guy to watch in football. And I'm going to be watching him, too, as he goes on with the Rams. But for some reason, Connor and Bob, their love of Stafford is much, much deeper, much seemingly. And anything even remotely anti-Stafford in the slightest sense, or somehow we are haters now. We're haters.
Well, and,
now they're buying betting slips on him winning the MVP against our own guy. He's not
plus
our guy anymore,
by the way.
You know. I mean, anyway, I was questioning his loyalties. I really was. You know.
I make a bunch of money and you don't make a bunch of money, then I'll buy you a drink. How about that? With my
sounds
winnings.
Good.
Yeah, I just don't get the irrational hate against Stafford. Like, You guys don't have anything against Golladay.
See, you call it hate.
Anybody
you're
else
saying
it's
hate.
Stafford chose.
Like, there is no hate, I think,
how
is what he's trying
to say. How many times do I have to say he's the best player on this team for the last...
But like,
no.
Yeah.
No. Talk about Rundog. Well, Rundog is a totally...
Yeah, I don't think he's hate Stafford, but...
Straight out hate. So.
It's a fitting word, though.
Traitor's
a
pretty
strong
word.
Yeah, maybe it's a little strong, but I find it fitting. He chose to leave. That's the difference between Golladay and others. He's a rare type of player that had a chance to stick around and make his legacy a Detroit Lion, retire as a Detroit Lion. He chose to leave. He abandoned his mission. He left.
Golladay could have
what do you think about Calvin
to?
Johnson? What do you think about Calvin
him,
Johnson,
I'm not
Rod Duck?
For him.
What do you think about Calvin Johnson? Because
he
chose to retire instead
attitude.
Of play for the Lions, basically. He said as much. He said he if the Lions would have he asked for a trade, they denied it, so he retired, basically.
Yeah, I don't feel too great about him either. And he's been mouthing off against the Lions and stuff. So, I wouldn't mind seeing them repair relationships, but I don't really care. Like, Barry left because the team just wasn't going to be great. It
That's
was never going to achieve
left.
What he wanted to. No, he didn't.
And he also
Kelvin
left abruptly, by the
wanted
way.
To go elsewhere. Kelvin tried to push them into a corner to trade him, and then they just called it bluff and let him retire, and they didn't let him release his contract. Barry left because he was done wasting his body in the sport and for a team that wasn't going to win, but he didn't try to go play for other teams. He loved the Lions, and he just saw the writing on the wall. Stafford and Calvin, they just wanted to seek greener pastures. They just, you know, they didn't have that Jordan mentality of making the Lions great. They went
Jordan
elsewhere.
Jordan mentality.
Good riddance.
Yeah, they gave Stafford a stack.
Jordan never got help, notoriously never got help with any of those rings.
Connor, I think you're trying to say something else there, too. What were you trying to say before?
Oh, the odds I saw were plus 1,800 if you didn't get that.
Oh, 18-1? 18-1 on Stafford?
Yeah, so I'll be rich
that's pretty
soon.
Stafford also was – ESPN came out with their rankings, and they never put Stafford in the top 10 before, but now he gets traded to the Rams, and now he's ranked number 6 on their best quarterbacks in the NFL all of a sudden.
I can't wait to see Goff pull off the MVP this year.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I would prefer if Goff won MVP, but – rooting for Stafford to do well when he's given so much to this team and city, I don't think is bad. Like, I think you can still love Stafford and love the Lions. It's not one or the other. So, some people, I don't know what the Kool-Aid is over there, what they're, maybe they're smoking the Kool-Aid.
Amen, brother.
But I think you can root for Stafford just fine.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with him over there for sure. If you're asking where I'm at, I mean, I can't hate him either. I have like a slight soft spot for the Rams only because my brother, my twin brother, roots for them. So as long as they're not playing the Lions, I'm usually fine. And they don't affect like the Lions like playoff rankings or anything like that. I don't have any problem.
I don't hate Stafford either. Stafford. By the way, it's more like indifference now.
That seems a little.
The way you
like
phrase it, Rud Dog, does sound a little more than indifference, for sure.
I mean, I don't always bring him up. Usually, it's you guys bringing up how you're betting on him and investing in him and rooting for
him. You don't totally love
him
if it's not
unrequited
love, then you hate him.
No, you literally call him a traitor. That's different than just saying, "Oh, I don't care anymore." That's different.
Yeah, but he's a traitor.
Yeah,
I just don't care about him and his future. If he does well, great for him. I don't care. I'm not going to root for him. I'm not going to root against him. I don't care. I might root against the Rams, though, just because they'll give us a really high draft pick if they were to do bad.
Good point.
But,
that is the other aspect of that, for sure. The draft pick aspect.
If you're hoping to get a top 10 pick from the Rams, you're in for a surprise, because I don't think it'll happen.
I hope they go 0-17, and they're the first team to go 0-17, and we get the number one overall pick. That's what I hope.
That would be sweet, but it won't happen.
You just wait for that.
Can't you root for them? Can't you root for the Rams and they're playing the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings this year?
You can root for them whenever you want.
I'm asking you. I'm not asking what I, because I will be. I'll root for the Rams.
You just asked if you can. I said you can root for them if you want, but I just won't be.
So you root for the Bears to win against the Rams?
I don't really generally root in other games anyway. I just root for the Lions.
Yeah. Do you not care what the Lions
I
want
to see the Lions win on their own merits.
So
I don't care that much about what other teams
year?
Are doing.
You just don't care if they win 15?
Yeah, if the Lions win 17, it'll be great.
All right, we don't need to continue that nonsensical. Yeah,
some strange.
All right, so let's move on now. UJ, I'm sorry. You wanted to bring up a certain article, and we're going to respond to it here. I don't know if this is a new segment where we help the media drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I
kind of like it actually. I kind of like it. But if we can bring up, we mentioned him on this a lot, probably this podcast, probably too much. But Carlos Monterez, we could probably do this with every article he writes almost.
Oh,
he's the worst.
But this is not a Carlos Monterez article. This is from Pride of Detroit, right, UJ?
Yeah, it is.
Explain to us.
That is correct. Yeah, I'll explain it to you. A few days ago, you know, I try to keep up on Lions news, and I go through a lot of the sites. Pride of Detroit is one of the sites I check out. And this guy named Mike Payton from the Pride, he wrote an article titled, Five Reasons Why Detroit Lions Fans Shouldn't Have Hope in 2021. I said, wow, that is so anti the blue Kool-Aid, okay? And I'm sorry. That's just not hopeful at all. There's no optimism in that article.
You a Packers fan?
So I'm just going to read his points, and we can all comment here. And there's 5 points. It's not that very long, but I'll start from the beginning. His first point is you knew what you were getting into. In other words, let's just start right here. This is a rebuild. We all knew what to expect when the Lions went scorched earth on the front office, coaching staff, and the roster when the season started. It's okay to have hope, but the hope isn't for 2021. It's for 2023 and beyond. So if your first instinct about this season is that the team wasn't going to be very good, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Stick with that instinct. Now, to me, there's absolutely no hope in that statement at all. And I think he's not giving any credit to anything on this team. So I don't know. What do you guys think of that?
This current team, right?
Yeah.
He's saying the future.
So in other words,
which is what a lot of people are saying. This is not a new take on the Lions this year
but
in
this
the
is
general media.
Point number one, why we should not have hope. So do you guys agree with that?
No.
I say he needs to drink some damn Kool-Aid.
Well, I mean.
Retool.
What?
I mean, it's a
rebuild. We did lose our.
Yeah,
we lost our two top receivers and our first round quarterback. You know, we lost
Marvin Jones has been getting a lot of love in the media too. As like an high underrated player. So I mean, like
why is he
underrated?
Why is he trying to knock
our love after they leave?
Yeah, right.
They all get love after they leave.
Yeah, that's true. Why is he trying to knock our hopes down now before training camp even starts? Okay. Anyway, that kind of
sounds like a miserable.
I'll tell
him
to watch one Dan Campbell interview, and he'll hopefully he's changed his mind or listen to him when he goes to sleep. Like,
yeah, there you
as
go.
He falls asleep, like listen to Dan Campbell interviews or something like that. Yeah, fair enough.
The press conferences alone will make this year worth it. We could go 0-17, and the press conferences will just be fantastic.
Oh yeah,
I'd say he needs to learn the definition of hope. Usually, hope implies that. You know, you don't necessarily have the best odds. Like when you have to hold out hope. Like, why would we just forsake hope? That's so negative and pessimistic.
It's like when you go into the theater.
It never is.
You're hoping it's gonna be good.
It erroneous.
It has something to do with that sign on their training facility. It says, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter." But, that doesn't really say that. But okay, point number two. All right. The defense did not really improve. The Lions had the worst defense last year. Now that the defensive genius isn't here anymore, it can only get worse, right? Joking. But the reality is that this defense, as bad as it was, didn't really do much to improve their standing right away. They did some work with the D-line, and that should help, but their linebacking core still has a ton of questions, as their secondary does too. Ultimately, the question is, how much of Detroit's poor defense is due to bad coaching? There's some thought, this is my thought too, is that the right coaching could change these guys into a better defense. There may be some validity to that, but the truth of the matter is that their personnel in this defense is nowhere near it needs to be. So
I think the counter to that is that you literally could not be worse than our defense last year.
Yeah, that was my first thought too. You can't be much worse than what we were.
So we can only go up. We can literally only go up. So I disagree with point two.
Well, I mean,
yeah, and I think I agree with you with the coaching. I think that's going to make a big difference right there. I mean, you're not going to have these guys out with no
linebackers with no speed. We have a little more speed, hopefully, at the linebacker position this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've added some blue chip talent on the defensive line,
right,
at least physically. I mean, I think that to ignore like Anzarike as a major addition is kind of silly.
And Brockers.
And supposedly they're going to be more flexible into what works for the players that we have, and not just trying to get a system and forcing these players into it. So we'll see what actually happens.
I think the biggest difference we'll see is
great hope for a better defense.
Lions are like the Patriots and others, like relying on man coverage so much. I think that's going to go away a lot more, and those outside guys are going to get a lot more help. Okuda won't be on an island constantly, especially.
Yeah.
Especially as a rookie cornerback.
Blitz. And a healthy Okuda this year was another plus because he was
injured.
Right. Kind of
but I mean, when you're
even,
playing man coverage year, like 70% of the time or more, and you have one of the worst consistent pass rushes in the league, especially up the middle, that is a recipe for complete disaster. So I think they improved the D line enough. And going to change up the defense on the back end to where it, like Connor said, only can go up.
Yeah.
Not to mention their almost unwillingness to blitz in Patricia's era. So, I mean, that I think we're going to be more aggressive in our mentality, too.
Yeah.
Which,
so I think the bottom line
some difference.
Mike Payton's comment that the defense didn't really improve is bullshit. And I think he was just trying to raise the ire of fans, which he did. So, I think he's wrong on that. Okay, his other point, third point.
All right, point number three, right?
Point number three. Tons of unproven talent on offense. Okay. In his article, he says, when I talked last week about players having something to prove, I was mostly referring to the receiving corps. Easy to pick on this corps. Rashard Perryman, Tyrell Williams, and the company are all guys that have been trying to show that they belong for the last half decade, but to no avail. Yes, this is their prime chance to show what they can do. The amount of targets they'll get, but that doesn't mean they're going to flip those targets into success. The only evidence we currently have tells us they probably won't. With that in mind, the Lions offense could wind up struggling quite a bit in 2021 with no receiving gain. On top of that, the receiving corps struggles. That will certainly impact Jared Goff. If the receiving game is bad and Jared Goff looks bad because of it, does that suddenly change the course of the Lions rebuild?
So this one's
if you can tell that the wide receivers aren't doing good and it's really the big reason why things aren't working out, I don't think they're gonna pin that all on Goff.
No, but if things aren't going great, I don't think Goff's gonna be the answer. I think he's on kind of a prove it 2 years here.
He's
definitely on a prove it 2 years. That's his contract.
No doubt about it.
But stipulates.
I think this one point he might have a little bit of a pointer. Okay, I'm gonna give him a little.
I would agree.
I think he's got a point on. He's got
That's
a point
not the
on
segment.
All of this.
But I mean, the wide receivers, they're all on 1 year deals. I mean, it definitely is prove it. The question is, do you believe in the scheme that Anthony Lynn's going to put together for Goff here?
I think the Cox is going to be a big focus, and Swift, you know, those guys are already good. So, and according to Rud Dog,
if he makes the roster,
to the bank
this year. So,
wide receiver, I think, is one of the more. It's kind of like running back, I think, to a degree, or it's more interchangeable of a position than some of these other ones in the NFL, where you can plug and play guys because there's so many similar skill sets out there nowadays, especially wide receiver, just with the development. From high school on, really, there's just so much more coaching and tape and training and everything out there. It's been available compared to maybe 20 years ago, say. So I think it's a little more interchangeable, and that I still think it'll be more in Goff than the receivers at the end of the day. What happens with the offense?
Yeah, Goff in the running game, I would throw that in there too, because if we have success there, I think our passing game will be okay. With these receivers.
Right. And they're putting if Sewell lives up to it and we can fix, if Big V can play good at right guard, that right side of the line, if that lives up to the potential we think it could, then I think, Goff should have more than enough time to throw the ball and find one of these guys to be open. And if he's not, and he's if he's getting the time and not finding him, then we got bigger issues.
Yeah.
Not to mention they all these guys came in with bringing one thing we have been lacking, and that's speed. I mean, I know that speed's not everything, but I can I if you got to cover these guys going deep a lot on a serious play action threat, then I think, you know, that'll really make it hard to cover them.
And Perriman has his father's legacy to live up to.
I like that.
That's going to be interesting.
So in regards to this point, he's basically wrong again, too.
This is point number four, right?
Yeah, so point number four, the NFC is stacked, and this schedule is rough. We're in year two of the extra wild card spot. The Lions are still in a very tough conference. It just keeps getting tougher. The Buccaneers are going to be really good again. The Rams might be a team that can go all the way. And the Seahawks are always good. And y'all know Aaron Rodgers' hubbub will end with him quarterbacking the Packers in the NFC title north again, or north title again. Don't sleep on the up-and-comers like the Cardinals and the Giants. Not only will the Lions have to contend for the postseason against some good teams, they will have to directly play some of the best projected teams in 2021. No matter how you slice it, the Lions' schedule is among the toughest in the NFL. In all, the Lions have 9 games against teams that went to the playoffs last year. Things could get bad in a hurry for this team. So what do we think of that?
That is one of my least favorite arguments, and you hear it all the time, like projected strength of schedule, toughness.
Yeah.
These teams change so much from one year to the next.
You just don't know.
And you're basing strength of schedule off what happened last year. And there's just so much change that happens year to year. You know, like, I think the Minnesota Twins were, like, one of the favorites to win the World Series this year in Major League Baseball. And now they're in last place in their division. So basing something off last year, I don't think is sound, and I think that's a pretty poor argument. I think this guy just wanted to get to the magic number 5, and he came up with that reason.
This is a clickbait article.
That's BS.
That's what the internet is these days. You just make some outrageous opinion. It gets a million retweets out of anger, but then you get paid. So that's what this was.
You got a point there.
Well, he wins the Monterez Award for Irken fans.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you guys think about our schedule? Do you think it's tougher than any other year? Or I don't think so. Yeah, I think every NFL team is tough to play every week. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
That whole argument, I agree with you, Z, that it gets a little ridiculous because they're all NFL teams you got to play. I mean, this whole, like, oh, they have such an easy schedule or hard schedule.
Yeah. Right. Like, I think what the Colts go 11-5 last year and made the playoffs and almost beat the Bills on the road, and they lost week one to a 1-15 Jaguars team. So.
Yeah. I mean, really, from the best team to the worst team, there's really not that much of a difference in regards to overall talent and things like that. I mean, you're playing big, nasty, tough, fast dudes in every team. So just some are better coach, and maybe some do have a little more talent and all. But, I don't like
that. Would you say the same about the 0-16 Lions, though, against a lot of
teams? Well, that was one of the few exceptions.
Even them.
Even then, we had a couple few close games against decent teams. Hey. So.
They got one stolen from the refs that year against Minnesota. So.
Still holding a grudge, eh, Bob?
I mean,
this is his weakest argument. I'd say the thing is all his points aren't all that inaccurate. He brought up the issues that this team's going to have to overcome. This is the weakest argument of all 5, in my opinion. But really, all he did was bring up the issues and then take the most negative possible stance on them. You know what I mean? Like, he brings up the receivers, and it's just like, oh, they're going to be terrible because none of them are proven. And none of that matters until the rubber hits the road. That's what hope's all about. You hope this thing works out. This is a trash article. Connor nailed it.
Yeah. Okay. On to point
five. Number 5.
This is his last point.
The last one.
I thought that was.
Just to remind you.
Number 4. Count.
Just to remind you, point one was you knew what you were getting into. Point two was the defense did not improve. Bullshit. Tons of number 3 was tons of unproven talent. Weak argument. The NFC is stacked and the schedule is rough. Horrible argument. And then point 5, the coaching staff is green. He says, I love this coaching staff. I know you do too. Speaking personally, I think this group is something special and the Lions are on their way. But to quote the great Stone Cold Steve Austin, these guys are greener than goose shit. These guys are all pretty much new to the job outside of Anthony Lynn. This is Dan Campbell's first full-time head coaching job. Mark Brunell was a high school coach last year. Aaron Glenn has only coached defensive backs, and so on. There are going to be some hiccups and growing pains, and those will probably be most apparent in 2021. The good news on this front is that the Lions do have guys like Dom Capers, Hank Fraley, and the already mentioned Anthony Lynn on the staff. Their knowledge and experience is going to really come in handy when it comes to the future of this team. Just don't expect top-tier results out of the gate. So, that's just point five. What do you think?
You know, I guess I understand what he's trying to say, but he also slightly contradicts himself at the end, I think. But, I mean, Aaron Glenn, he's been in the league for 15 years.
Yeah.
Had an immense amount of success with the New Orleans Saints. Sought out by, you know, four or five teams to be their defense coordinator. So it's not like he wasn't wanted by other teams for the position or people that, around the league didn't think he was ready. The guy is clearly ready. He's done paid more than his dues. I don't think he would be a defensive coordinator if people didn't think he was ready to take on the challenge immediately. So I don't agree with that. At all. It's not like he's been around like three, like he's not like a Kyle Shanahan or something like that. He really, or Sean McVay, even like a really young guy who hasn't been around that long. This guy's been around a really long time. Deuce Staley, he had a big role with Philadelphia. He's asking for a slightly bigger one. That's why he came to Detroit. I mean, and then like you said, they have these older guys here to help him too. That's why I think he slightly contradicts himself, like say, worry about the coaches, but then don't worry about them at the same time. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you hire new coaches, that applies to any team. I mean, and as far as like being a great coach, like you say, McVay, I mean, you could be a young coach, you're inexperienced and still have good results. You know,
I guess his argument is just don't expect kind of top tier results out of the gate. Yeah. I mean, he does say he's positive on the staff, which I think we all are.
It's
kind of wishy-washy argument.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Don't expect it. I think it'd be great, but don't expect it. Like, okay,
greener than goose shit, really I think, is not accurate. You can argue that for their maybe respective positions on the staff. A lot of them have, you know, been promoted to from their previous stations, but this is probably one of the most... They're new to their positions, maybe, but they're far... Like, everyone on the staff is far from new to the game. This is probably one of the most experienced staffs in the league, including time playing in the league, like almost every guy on the staff. So, I mean, yeah, there might be growing pains, but to say that they're just completely green, I think you're missing a lot of factors there, not to mention, like Z said, all the actual experience at certain positions.
Yeah, and Mark Brunell played 15 years in the league. Yeah. I mean, Kellen Moore, what do you play, four or five? And then 2 years later after he, you know, hangs it up and he's Dallas's offense coordinator. I didn't hear that argument from anybody when he got hired to be offense coordinator. So that's why
Randall
I don't like
L.
I mean, there's a lot of these arguments I don't really like here, UJ. So this guy,
it's more greener than like a pea puree, ripe avocado.
Yeah,
I like it, Bob. I like it.
I think we all agree that Mike Payton was just trying to rile people up in this article here.
Someone should send suicide watch to his house. This guy's got bad thoughts.
You know what? I don't know if he'll hear our podcast or not, but I challenge Mike Payton of Pride of Detroit to write an article, the five reasons why Detroit Lions should be very hopeful about 2021. And let's see what he can come up with that way. It's easy to pick on some of our weaknesses. Yeah. But we're working on it. I mean, it's easy to do that, man.
Yeah. Come up with five reasons why Mike
Payton's
covered the Lions.
Ooh, good one.
Zing.
That was a good one.
Man, woo.
He's been got. We encourage him to drink the blue Kool-Aid, as we do to all the listeners of this podcast as well. And we know that they do. We know that they do. And if you aren't for some reason, maybe you're having a down week, drink some blue Kool-Aid. Everything will be just fine.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, it's going to be flowing in Ford Field this year. Yeah, Paul Cassidy, they announced
that'll be
this
great.
The
12th man, right?
We'll be
for
back,
Detroit.
Back in business.
Fans, I think the fans are going to
be. That'll be great.
I think they're going to
be
jacked this
year,
man. I think it's going to be a good year for the fans. Yeah. So.
You know, we're getting to near the end here a little bit, but did you guys see that? We're kind of going full circle, I guess, back to Stafford really quick. I forgot to mention during that segment. Did you guys see Dan Orlovsky talking about one of his better Stafford stories? Like,
yeah,
they were watching tape one time There's a guy double covered down like the sideline, but he has there's a slight like tight window. It'd take like a perfect throw to make it and complete it, but and it was like 20 plus yards downfield. Meanwhile, there's a guy like running a 9 yard hook that's wide open, and Dan Orlovsky says during the film session to Stafford, like, why didn't you just hit this 9 yard or this guy wide open at 9 yards and throw 20 yards instead? He's like, that's what was it exactly? Like,
he's like, because I can hit that throw and you can, or something like that.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yeah, that was it. That was it. Thank you. I don't know why I lost it there, but just a great that'd be cool to be in the room when he said that.
My
I don't think we got quite enough of that
was...
out of him in the public eye, really. That kind of cockiness, I guess you could say.
My thought when I heard that story, can't like, why didn't you try to take keep trying to take the Lions to the Super Bowl?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, boo.
I lost brain cells listening to that.
I didn't know you had any to spare.
Wow.
Oh.
Run, oh, boy. Getting chippy here.
Drink some
Kool-Aid. It's all about
the
future,
pass.
Baby. The AC/DC. Jared Goff, let's go.
MC/DC? Yeah, Motor City, Dan Campbell? You said AC/DC. I don't know. But anyways, okay.
Kool-Aid, baby.
I'm drunk.
So let's wrap it up here. Instagram at Drinking the Boo Kool-Aid. Please follow us on there. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Please follow us on either of those social media accounts. We really appreciate it. Twitter or Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe. Please download. We really appreciate that. And please leave a review if you can. We also highly appreciate that as well. Good or bad, you know, whatever you're feeling. We appreciate any comments and feedback so we can improve the podcast. But thank you, everybody, for listening. It is mid-July, which means training camp is right around the corner. I saw a tweet from the Red Zone guy today. It said, 7 Sundays from now, I'll be back on your TVs. So 7 Sundays from now, NFL football will be back.
Bye-bye.
So it's right around the corner. 7
I mean,
sums,
camp is really
like a long
close.
Time, but it's really not. So, yeah, all right. Exactly. Exactly. It's about 3 weeks away, 2 weeks away in some cases. So, yeah, it'll be ramping up here very, very soon. We're very, very excited. We're going to be drinking a lot of blue Kool-Aid for sure until that opening kickoff. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Charging team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rock, 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 go hard, win the game, with honor you will keep your fame, down the field and gain, a Lions victory,
go!
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.